ask an interest in your prayers this morning as we look into the Word of God. The title of the message this morning is The Christ We Profess. The Christ that we profess this morning is more than just a name. It's more than just a tradition. And it ought to be more than just a Sunday morning routine. He is a life to be lived, a path to be followed, and Christ came to set an example for us that we should follow in His steps. Christ's life should be a litmus test for our behavior in life. So when we make decisions and we ask ourselves, how am I supposed to live? How am I supposed to act? How am I supposed to talk? Christ is to be the litmus test for those things. I'd like to begin over in the book of Matthew in the 21st chapter. Begin reading with the 8th verse. It said, a great multitude spread their garments in the way. Now, this is one of the very few, if not only, occasions that the multitude gave Christ glory and honor as the king that he was. So this is as he came into Jerusalem, and they spread their garments in the way, the others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. We are reading from the 21st chapter of Matthew in the 8th verse. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? And the multitude said, this is Jesus the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. So they asked the question, who is this? Who is this man that people are praising and singing to and saying Hosanna? Who is this man? You know, since this time, Christianity has spread across the world. Yet many people that profess Christ have lost the essence of what it means to truly be a Christian. There are a lot of people that are in chapels today. There's a lot of people that if you ask them, are you a Christian? They would say, yes, I'm a Christian. There's a lot of people that profess Him with their mouth. But as Jesus said, their heart is far from me. That was in His time. And if it was true in His time, surely it is true today that not everyone that nameth the name of Jesus is truly a Christian. Because to be a Christian means, y'all remember what it means to be a Christian? It means to be Christ-like. So if you say you are a Christian, you are saying, like Christ. Now then people would look and say, oh, you really think you're something, don't you? You really think you're holy and righteous. Well, by His grace. I'm human, and it doesn't mean that I am perfect humanly, but when we make mistakes and when there are areas that we fall short, as children of God, we should not cover up wrong. We should not excuse where we fall short. And as children of God, we should say, but this is my purpose. Lord, help me to do better next time. Help me to grow and be more like You want me to be. So who is this man, Jesus? Because to many it has become a lifestyle. Do you realize there are groups of people today that they have an outward standard of dress? They have standards of, and they almost have made a culture of their religion. And it's a culture. But there is no relationship with God. There's no, the Pharisees were in that same place. They had the Mosaic law and they kept it. And they were careful about it, and yet they lost the essence of what it means to worship God. They lost the essence of love. They lost what it meant to be merciful. And that has happened in this generation as well. Many profess with their mouth. So who is this man? He came more to just create a religion. Jesus came to transform lives. He came to radically transform lives. Coming in, and I am thankful for each and every one of us that have come together in this chapel this morning. I wish the chapel were full. But do you realize that coming to church or to service in and of itself does not change my heart? Because I acknowledge that Jesus is the Son of God does not change how I act when I go home in the privacy of the four walls of my house. I have to have something from Christ Himself in my heart that is living and causing me and enabling me to live in a way that is a reflection of the Christ that I profess. It takes a surrender. It was already mentioned here as we talked about grace during prayer requests. God's grace works in the humble. Do you realize it takes a complete surrender of ourselves and a dying out of ourselves that the life of Christ would be manifest in us this morning? So when we think about Christ and that question, who is this? What would you say if someone asked you, who is this man? Who is this Christ? Well, there in the book of Acts in the 10th chapter in the 38th verse, the writer said, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So there's one of the answers right there. Who is this man? And the writer said that, well, we know he's the Son of God. And he went about doing good. He went about working miracles. You remember things you've read in the Gospels about Jesus and what he did? He was prophesied that he would be born, was he not? It was prophesied that he would be born to a virgin by the name of Mary. And I believe in the virgin birth this morning. I still believe what it says because I believe in Jesus and I have seen and I've experienced what he can do in a life. And so I believe this morning. It's more than opening up an old book. He still is working today. So this Jesus, we read about what he did, and the scripture said he went about doing good. He healed the sick. He gave sight to the blind. He made the lame to walk. He brought the dead back to life. That's what he did. But beyond the miracles this morning, beyond the miracles, he was pure. He lived a holy life. He lived a life uncontaminated by the sin of the world. He was a compassionate person. You remember this many times that he looked on the multitude and it said he was moved with compassion. He was touched with the feeling of their infirmity. He was a very humble man. The scripture teaches us Jesus did not come trying to get a reputation. Can we take note of that? Jesus did not come to get his name on a billboard. Jesus did not come to be a chief. He said, if you want to be great, become what? Become a servant. Become like a little child. He did not come as a bishop. He did not come as a pope. He did not come exalting his own ministry. He came speaking truth from the Father. He was uncompromising in truth. He was not willing to change and to water down the truth to get a larger following. And ultimately, he was a man that was overflowing with love. So who is this man? Christ. Who is this man? Well, do you remember Jesus asked his disciples, who do people say that I am? And they said, well, some say you're John the Baptist and some Elias. And Jesus turned and looked at me and said, but who do you say that I am? You see, the Lord wants it to be personal now. Who do you say that I am? And Peter looked at him. You remember what Peter's answer was? He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus told Peter, he said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you, but the Father which is in heaven." He had had a divine revelation and a personal experience, and he knew who this Christ was. If someone came and asked you who Benjamin Franklin was, would you all have an answer? It would be a test of your education, wouldn't it? Well, I read that Benjamin Franklin, we remember him with the kite and the key, okay. We remember, you know, these stories about Ben. I remember some stories from Ben Franklin about him. But do you know that I did not personally know him? That was a little before my time. I didn't know Ben Franklin, but I've read about him, but all I could do is tell you what I've heard. Who is this man to you this morning? Well, my grandma and grandpa, they told me that Jesus did this and this and this. Well, I read that Jesus can do this for you. But what about in your life this morning? Is Jesus real to you? Has he become personal to you? This Christ that we profess this morning, this Christ that we say we're following, it's why I hope all of us are here this morning. We sang the song, "To Be Like Jesus." Is that your desire this morning? If it's not your desire, I'm going to tell you an unfortunate truth, that you are lost. But the Lord can give you life this morning. But if it's not our desire to be like Jesus, then it means that our desire is to do something else. Our goals and our dreams and our plans, what motivates us is geared towards selfish things and the things of this world. Unless we surrender our lives and die out to self and say, "Lord, I want to be like you. I want to follow in your steps. I want to have that personal experience that goes beyond what I have heard the preacher say from the pulpit. Lord, I want to get to know you personally. And as I get to know him, Lord, I want to be like you. I want to follow in your steps." So I think this question that Jesus asked echoes down through the generations. Who do you say that I am? Well, as in days of old, when Jesus walked by and he looked over, and there are some fishermen. There's Peter, James, and John, and Andrew. You remember what Jesus told them? "Come on, follow me. Follow me." And they left their nets. Their plans, their dreams, their ambitions, they submitted that for the purpose of following Jesus. Well, then it wasn't just the ignorant fisherman. It was Matthew, the publican, educated man sitting there at the tax collector. And he was collecting those taxes, and Jesus walked by and he said, "Matthew, would you follow me?" And he got up and left and followed him. I wonder how many of us this morning have truly left our nets and left our table in pursuit of Jesus Christ. There is a large, strong influence from the world to make decisions. Young people, young marrieds, in your life, there's a pressure to do what's best for you. Do what you want to do. Fulfill your dreams. Do what feels good to you. Do you realize that when we follow Jesus, we will be what we were created to be? There is no greater fulfillment in life than in placing ourselves in the hands of Jesus Christ. It's a lie of the enemy that tries to say, if you follow Jesus, you can't really be who you were meant to be. You'll just have this life in a straight jacket of holiness. No fun, no enjoyment, no peace, no pleasure in life. Folks, I've got a better life than most of the people in this world. And it's not because I have more money in the bank. It's not because I have more name recognition. It's because I have the joy and the peace of God in my life, and he has radically transformed my life because of his grace, not because I'm so good, but because of him. Don't be afraid to place yourself in the hands of this man, Jesus. the Son of God. So who do you say that I am? He's calling for us to follow him. So over in the book of 1 Peter, we will read out of the second chapter, 1 Peter chapter 2. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. 1 Peter chapter 2 in the 21st verse. It said, "For even hereunto were you called." This is personal now. And I won't take the time to go around and call out your name this morning. But the Lord's calling you. And he's called us to something. Jesus did not call us. Well, I just want you to go to church on Sunday morning. Well, he does want you to do that too. But there's a deeper cause. He wants us to follow him. And you know, the largest amount of following Jesus is not Sunday morning. Because we can come and we can put on nice clothes, and we can come and we can sing and we can pray and preach and say, "I've done my Christian duty for the week." No, you're just getting started. It's about when you get in the car going home. It's about how you talk. It's about how you live. It's about when you go to work Monday morning, how you conduct yourself. It's about how you're honest when you fill out your taxes. It's about how you treat people that have needs in their life. When we say, "I'm answering the call of Jesus," it means it's going to permeate and affect every moment of my day that my pursuit is to follow Jesus Christ. And so here it says, "Even hereunto were you called, because Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps." And then it tells us a little more about Jesus. Said, "Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth." What is guile? There's no deceit. He didn't ever tell a lie. What he said was honest and true. Do you know we're called to follow that example? If something comes out of your mouth and you say, "Yes, I'm a Christian," that means that what you're saying is, "I'm going to tell you the truth." If it's none of your business, I might just not answer you. But I'm not going to let guile come out of my mouth, because we are called to follow him, living lives of integrity, honesty, and purity and godliness. It said when he was reviled, what did he do? He reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not. You do it one more time. One more time. You cross that line. One more time. I've been merciful. This is it. What Christ do we profess? He said when he reviled, when he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he was threatened, when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. So when we say we are followers of Christ, we're really saying something. And what's happened is our world, it means nothing. I had a very, and I shared this years ago, when I was in university, I had a very, very educated, highfalutin professor, and he was a mathematics professor. And I had a conference with him one day, and we were talking, and the issue of my faith came up somehow, or being Christians. And he said, "You know," he said, it doesn't mean anything, people that say they're Christians." He said, "They say they're Christians on Sunday," and he said, "Monday," he said, "they act like everybody else." All I can say is then, you haven't been around real Christians on Monday. Because true Christians, it's more than a Sunday morning experience. I remember, and this might surprise some of you, I remember being on a plane full of Muslims. I was the only Caucasian Christian on the plane, I think. Got in a discussion about Christianity. And I was sat by a very educated Muslim man, very educated. And we were talking about some things, and he was sharing some things about their perception of Christians there in Pakistan. And I told him, I said, "You know what?" I said, "That's not what a real Christian is." I said what the New Testament, what Jesus taught us, and I began to tell him how we were to live. Because their perception of Christianity is the United States is a Christian nation. And then they see the filth come out in the entertainment world. And in their country, a Muslim can't buy alcohol, so you got to go get a Christian to buy it for you. That's the way it works in those countries. So if you want to do something wrong, talk to the Christian. They'll point you the right direction. The wrong direction. And so I began to explain to him what it really meant to be a child of God. And this educated Muslim looked at me and he said, I have never heard this before. Shame on us as a people in our country that so many say we profess him. And yet people look at their lives and they don't see any difference. My question to you is this morning, in love, is what Christ do you profess? What Christ do you profess? Jesus left us an example. And when I chose and when we choose to follow Jesus, we leave the sinning behind. The sin being the moral violations established primarily through the Mosaic Law, but we're not followers of the Mosaic Law now. Christ told us how to live. He did no sin, so he lived honestly. No more adultery, no more fornication, no more drunkenness, no more lying, no more stealing. Loving God with all of our heart, putting him first in our life, seeking to be like Jesus, the one that we profess to follow. And so I remember hearing a story. There's a woman, and I'm sure this has happened to many of us here on maybe both sides of this, but there was a woman in line at the grocery store, and she was carrying a toddler, and the toddler was crying and causing a ruckus. And, you know, when you see people like that, maybe you've been the one holding the crying toddler, you kind of feel bad for them, and then sometimes you wish they'd just be quiet, and then, you know, there's these conflicting thoughts, right? And the line wasn't moving. She kept running her cart over and over and over, declined, 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 and she's getting desperate, and everybody's looking in the line, and she whispers to the clerk, she said, I'm sorry, she said, I thought I had enough. And a man quietly stepped out of the line and said, I've got it. And he paid for it. And as they walked out, she was still just almost trembling. And she said, are you one of those church people? And he said, he smiled at her and he said, I'm just trying to be like Jesus. What Jesus do you profess this morning? Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. In other words, I cannot give in to the natural or the sinful or the worldly things that might and do draw on us. But I've got to die out to myself, take up my cross. How often? Daily. He didn't just say on Sunday. Daily. And follow me. If we are not willing to die out to ourself, it would almost be better for us to quit professing that we know Jesus. Because Jesus, God, can work with someone that says, I'm not saved. But when we say, oh yes, I'm a Christian, sometimes I wonder, what Christ do you profess? What Christ are you following? What does Jesus mean to you this morning? Well, you might give me doctrine, and those of you that know me very well, you know that doctrine, it's in the Bible, it's important to me. But I want to tell you, you can have all the doctrinal knowledge you want. But if you don't have the basic love of Jesus Christ in how you treat people, in letting your love for God be the motivating factor of your decisions in life, what Jesus do you know? What Jesus do you profess? So I want to encourage us this morning as we conclude this service to consider our lives practically. When we say we're a Christian, it means how I respond to difficulties in life. Am I responding carnally, or am I showing the forgiveness and mercy and long-suffering of Jesus? Let me ask you all this. Everybody knows the answer. Where does being a Christian start? Where do we live? Where do we start living it? At home. You've heard the story about the funeral service and the casket's up there and the preacher's just giving all these glowing accolades and this wonderful man and all this. And pretty soon the wife and the children kind of look at each other. It's like, who's in that casket? Who's up there? You see, it goes beyond what people think they know about us. It's how we live our lives at home, folks. May I ask you, what Christ are you professing? And if you realize that you haven't been living and acting and talking like Jesus Christ, folks, he will help you, but you're going to have to die out to yourself. And it's not just professing again. It's not just saying, I want that. I mean, I there's a lot of things I could say I want. I'd want my bank to be filled. I mean, that wouldn't hurt anything, as long as I kept it committed to the Lord. But I mean, that's not going to hurt. But I want to tell you, when people say, I want it, it still doesn't do it. Are you struggling and seeking to be like Christ? I'm thankful if someone says, well, I'm struggling. I say, thank God. You haven't given up yet. Maybe you've fallen short. And is there anybody here that hasn't fallen short? Anybody had to apologize in the last month for anything? All right, there's one of you. Okay. There's one honest one. When you realize something comes out of your mouth and it should have had a little more love, a little more patience, the child of God is going to be quick to say, I'm sorry. I should have had more patience there, or I wish I would have responded a little bit differently there. Lord, help me to grow then. So next month it'll be better. Next, but see, this is a growing process. But what are we struggling for this morning? What are we fighting for? Ah, there's so much that could be said. I think you got the message. What Christ do you profess? It means something to say I'm a Christian. And if we're not living it, let's stop saying it. Let's just admit where we are. I'm not following Jesus, and I need him in my life. But if we're following him, it doesn't mean we won't have errors and mistakes and shortcomings. But it means that's my goal and that's my purpose. And I daily want to be more like Jesus. Amen.